Hello, listeners. Thank you for putting yourself in the presence of God to offer him praise and to receive his word for your life. Our text for today is John 1, 35 through 51. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let us pray. God our Father, who sees fully into our hearts and minds, open our eyes to see more of your glory revealed in Jesus Christ. We come to you now, seeking and searching for an even deeper engagement with who you are and how you want us to follow your way in these days. We pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen. There used to be a sign on the wall of our church foyer. It greeted all who came through the doors with a simple but potentially life-changing invitation. Come, consider Jesus. Yes, we want you to meet and get to know other people in the congregation. We want you to meet and get to know the pastor. We want you to meet and get to know us. But most of all, we want you to meet and get to know Jesus. After all, Jesus is the reason that we can even speak of us. This congregation is composed of individuals who have heard and responded to the invitation to come and meet Jesus. That's the way the faith gets transmitted and disciples get made. One person says to another, "I follow Jesus," and invites you to do so too. One person tells another person, who tells another person, who tells another person. If you're someone who knows the Lord Jesus, then you have a chain of witnesses to thank. You have a network of people who came and saw and invited you to come and see. That's the way it works in today's text. John the Baptist directs Andrew and another one of his disciples to Jesus. Jesus invites them to come and see. After spending some time with Jesus, Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter and brings him to Jesus. Soon Jesus finds Philip and calls him to follow. Then Philip goes and finds Nathanael and brings him to meet Jesus. By the end of the second day, photos were already being posted on everyone's favorite social media platforms. Here I am standing with this guy, Jesus. He's the one we've been waiting for. Come and see. Of course, not everyone comes to faith in Jesus in exactly the same way, at exactly the same speed. In today's text, things move along pretty quickly. John gives us a tight and streamlined account of Jesus' first disciples. Nathanael, the last follower in this opening sequence, initially expresses some skepticism about Jesus, largely because of where Jesus comes from. When most people thought of the Messiah, they didn't think of Nazareth. So Nathanael doesn't rush to sign on with Jesus and his small band of disciples. But the invitation is the same: come and see. Notice that Jesus doesn't require Nathanael to check his doubts at the door. He's welcome to bring his questions and uncertainties into the dialogue. There's plenty of room for searching, asking, and exploring. Plus, it's not all about how perfectly Nathanael knows Jesus. It's also about how completely Jesus knows Nathanael. Turns out that even before Nathanael has come seeking Jesus, Jesus has been seeking him. While Nathanael is still approaching, Jesus, who's never met him face to face, calls Nathanael a true Israelite. In other words, a genuine member of the people of God, faithful and righteous. "How do you know me?" asks Nathanael. Jesus says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now that sounds rather strange. What's going on here? Has Jesus been following a digital trail created by Nathanael's cell phone? Did Nathanael snap a selfie and post it online, creating a path of metadata that enables Jesus to track Nathanael's movement and pinpoint his precise location, thus knowing that he was under a particular fig tree at a particular time on a particular day? Is that why Jesus says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you"? It's hard to get at the precise meaning of Jesus' statement. There has also been a lot of speculation about the significance of the fig tree. But we don't have to nail down the meaning of all the details in order to get at the essence of what Jesus is saying. The focus of the story is on Jesus' superhuman knowledge and its effect on Nathanael. Jesus already knows Nathanael fully and completely. And that's what initiates the opportunity for Nathanael to know Jesus and believe in him. The first verse of the old hymn, "Amazing Grace," reminds us of where we should put the accent in the divine-human relationship. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Am found. So coming to faith in Jesus is less about finding him and more about first being found by him. Nathanael's experience calls us back to God's gracious initiative in our lives. True, there's lots of language in the first chapter of John about how the call to discipleship demands a response. We're summoned to follow, seek, stay, and find. In other words, you need to be active, involved, and engaged with Jesus. But all this is made possible because Christ has first known you and has come seeking you. He's the one who opens your eyes to see who he is, why he has come, and what you need to do with your life. God seeing and knowing us is the grace that enables us to see and know God, and to see and know one another. Our assurance and hope, especially during times like these, is that our lives are not invisible to God. He does not close his eyes to our condition, No, into the darkness of our sins and our circumstances, God comes. John says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The God who sees opens our eyes to see his glory revealed in Christ, most of all in the cross. There in the suffering and death of Jesus, God's knowledge of us and his desire to be known by us is unveiled for us to see. Last Easter, one pastor reminded listeners of a place called Heart Island. He said, Heart Island is found a little way off the coast of Long Island. Nobody lives on Heart Island. It is the home, though, of a million bodies, bodies that have been buried there. It's a place that's known as a potter's field. It's a place meant for the homeless, the stillborn, poor immigrants, poets, and artists who died penniless. It's a wasteland for the forgotten dead. But the newest additions are those who have died from the coronavirus. During the COVID-19 crisis, they dug a mass grave on Heart Island. All of these bodies are placed in cheap, crate-like coffins, set side by side, as backhoes and men in hazmat suits cover them over with dirt. People dying without dignity, dying with disease, being buried safely so as to contain the disease that still resides in their decaying skin. On Heart Island, in the very middle of the island, there is a large white cross with black letters inscribed on the horizontal beam. Those letters read out this way, He knows us all by name. How do you know me? Nathanael asked Jesus. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Jesus saw and knew Nathanael under the fig tree. Jesus sees and knows the dead in forgotten cemeteries. Jesus sees and knows you at home in your confinement, isolation, and loneliness. Jesus sees and knows you in your hospital room. Jesus sees and knows you when you sit staring at your computer screen trying to complete another school assignment. Jesus sees and knows you as you report for work at an essential yet dangerous and underappreciated job. Remember that you are not invisible to the Son of God, who has made God visible to us. Authors Lance Ford and Brad Briscoe have written about the profound loneliness that so many people experience in our world, which contributes to the sense that they have very little value at all. Ford and Briscoe point out that we even contribute to others' lack of a sense of self-worth by such things as failing to lift our heads to offer a simple greeting. They contrast this with the practice that someone else has noticed among the tribes of Northern Natal in South Africa. The most common greeting, equivalent to hello in English, is the expression Sawubona. It literally means, I see you. If you are a member of the tribe, you might reply by saying Sikona, which means, I am here. See, the order of the exchange is important. Until you see me, I do not exist. It's as if when you see me, you bring me into existence. Being seen by God and becoming a disciple of Jesus makes a difference in how you see. It makes a difference in how you see God and in how you see others. When Nathanael realizes the insight that Jesus has into him even before he and Jesus met, that's when Nathanael's eyes are opened and he confesses Jesus as the Son of God, the one who has come from God for our salvation. But that's just the beginning point of Nathanael's faith. Jesus promises Nathanael that he will see even greater things and deepen in his faith. No doubt that will include how Nathanael sees others. When you and I look at other people, we need to see them with the eyes of faith. This means seeing them as people made in God's image, people known by God, people for whom Christ died. This is especially true when you look at people of a different race, ethnicity, class, or cultural background. On this weekend, when we remember the life and witness of Martin Luther King Jr., we recall some of the most memorable words from his I Have a Dream speech, when he declared, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." King wasn't calling us to ignore race or to pretend that it doesn't matter. Diversity and difference of race is part of the beauty of the world God has made, the humanity God has created, and we should delight in that. Granted, there's truth and value in looking beyond skin color to see the dignity and value of every individual. But being committed to colorblindness has its dangers too. Sometimes colorblindness keeps us from recognizing and addressing racial disparities and inequities that still exist. When we look at one another, we need to see skin color and acknowledge the ways that racial division and injustice have shaped our identities, especially the identity of Black Americans. So in one respect, we need to be color conscious. We need to recognize the differences that exist because of history, background, and experience. But at the same time, we need to realize that there's more to human identity than just race. When we look at one another, we need to remember that what matters most isn't skin color, but who we are in Christ. God coming to us in the flesh, knowing us fully, redeeming us, and making it possible for us to be born as children of God, children born of the Spirit. That's what defines us most. And that's why we continue to extend an invitation that crosses racial lines and breaks down barriers with a simple summons. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come to know the one who already knows you. Come and let him give you the eyes of faith. Let us pray. God, our Father, you continue to show us greater and greater things about who you are and who we are in light of your Son. Help us to take these things and put them into practice in our daily lives as we follow Jesus. Show us how we can extend the invitation to others so that they can come and see him too. We continue to pray for our nation as we go through this week, for a peaceful transition of power and a decrease in hostility. Enable each of us, Father, to see others with the eyes of faith, and use our church to be a living witness to racial unity and justice. We, your children, ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen.